Amen. Just before I get into the word, just like to invite Chris and Sheila to come on up. And maybe, I know I didn't say that to you, but on Thursday, it was incredible on Wednesday or something, whatever day it is. But we were in Lesotho and in South Africa for 10 days, and we had great crack, hadn't we? You can't send orders out and not have crack, you know what I mean? Meaning a bit of fun for those who think like we were snorting crack or something or smoking crack. Not that way. Well, it wasn't. The three guys wasn't. Sheila might have been because she laughed a whole lot. But we had good fun and we met with chiefs and councillors and town planners and orphan children and orphan people looking after orphans. And it was an amazing trip. I was looking at zebras and giraffes on Wednesday, I think it was, and on Thursday, I'm in Ballyferma getting my hair cut, and I'm like, was that a dream like that? I was like looking at giraffes and elephants, not elephants, zebras yesterday, and it's been a bit surreal for me since I've come back. I don't know about this, but we had a great time. Maybe, guys, if you just want to just give a quick report, that would be good.
we required a piece of land over in Lesotho to carry out the Lord's work, and there's a lot of hurting children over there. A lot of it is through AIDS. And the Lord brought us to some places up the mountain where there's one old lady, and she just takes them in and feeds about, there's about 30, 40 kids every Saturday, and that's all she can do, do you know? She can only do a Saturday. They help her in the garden, they produce the food for her, and she feeds them out of it. But this is only one place up the mountain, and there's mountains all over Lesotho with little kids planted like this, and they need a home. And our aim is to provide them homes, family homes for these kids, to provide food for them, to provide clothing for them, and you're all a part of this. And the one thing I have to say is that the Lord doesn't call you to Lesotho straight away. He calls you to clean toilets. He calls you to wash floors. He calls you to hoover floors. He calls you to set up chairs. It starts small. But when the Lord puts calling in your life, that's where he starts. You're good at that. You obey that. He'll bring it to higher places. Amen.
Chris, I was just talking about that old lady that could able to afford to feed the kids for on a Saturday, just the one day. And we just want to see that possible every day, that these kids have food, and you know. And what we're seeing is in them children that they had no hope. There was a sadness, they were unsure. And, do you know, we were trying to get them singing and dancing, and Noel prayed over them, and you could see the presence of God coming and breaking in them. And when we went down to Palani, which my heart was on Palani for since being gone for the last few years, and I just asked the Lord, you know, my heart's in Palani, so, you know, do something with me for Buta Buta. And when I went to Palani, I just seen them kids so well looked after, so fed. They were just, it was amazing to see the laughter and the singing and the dancing and just the happiness and the joy of the Lord. Their spiritual needs are met, and then the material stuff comes, you know. And then that's just what I was just wanted to see for when we go back to Buta Buta, that them children will have the same. They will have the love, they will have the laughter, they will have the fun, they'll have their spiritual needs met, and then their materials needs met. But, you know, it was just amazing, and my heart is in Palani. I couldn't wait, or not, Buta Buta. I couldn't wait to get out of Palani and go back to Buta Buta, and I couldn't believe I could say that. So God changed my heart, and it's Buta Buta. And it's a beautiful place, and everyone in Liberty has to get there. Even if it's just the once, you need to get there and see what God will do in you, in the families. There's great things ahead for Liberty.
So our plan, we met with chiefs of villages. We were shown three pieces of land, which we traveled. We were up at the crack of dawn every day. And then travelled the length and breadth of Lesotho, and we looked at three pieces of land, stayed overnight in the places, and we had to pick one of the pieces, and which was, you know, like if they would have shown us any one piece and says that's your land, we would have been jumping around. But now you have a choice. Now you have to ask the Lord, where do you want us? Where there's only one place, you take it. That's where the Lord wants us. And The other places had good things going for them, and even one had water, electricity, you name it. But the first place we went, I think we all felt the Lord there without even speaking to each other. And it was up to the Lord, and it was up to really the Lord to speak to Chris and Sheila, because they're going to live there. And they felt it was the first place, you know. And it's like, anyone remember the Lion King when Mufasa brings little Simba over and he's on that pride rock? Anyone remember it before? He's on the rock and he holds the little lion up to all the jungle to say, this is the next king. Well, there's a pride rock there. There's a big rock sticking out. And they've given us 5 acres of land. So the goal, as Chris and Sheila says, you're going to hear, we're going to be able to package this now. The goal is to build 3 bed houses, have 8 kids, 4 kids in each room, and a mom and dad room, and a sitting room. That will cost us $5,000 to build. And then another part of the vision is there's kids living in villages with their moms and dads. No, not with their moms and dads, with grannies or aunties, because their moms and dads are dead. And we want, if they're able to stay in their village, Liberty will help support these families within their village. Now, I'm talking about €50 a month will feed a family. You know, it's like €50 is still a lot when you haven't got it, don't get me wrong, in this country. But when you see how far it goes in another country, you're like me and my family can deal with that. Me and my, you know, that's the way you want to look at it, that you and your family could hire or to pay the wage, €50 a month for a mom to be over the house. And then the other part of it, another part of the whole thing is that when kids are of a certain age, Chris being a builder and us going out to help build, that we will help build a 17, 18-year-old their own house. They will help build it, and we will help build it with them. And at the end, if we agreed already with the government that at the end of that house, that we will sign the house over to the orphan, and that we will say, you have a home now. And it's not only, you know when I was there, it's not only giving them hope, but giving them a house is giving them a future. They have their own family. No one can take away from them. It's their lease, their piece of paper that says, this is my home. And that God's people, God has provided it through his people. And I'm like, I get and we get the privilege of serving them guys over there. Our children, beauty, great town, unbelievable town. And then, but the whole area is safe. There's no, like, in the piece of land that we have acquired, there's a chicken coop where it's made by a co-op, and all the chickens that lay eggs, the orphans go in and take the eggs and put them into the baskets, and then they sell the eggs, and then the money from the eggs goes helping to get their school books and whatever. And there's not even a guard on it. There's not even a dog guarding the chicken coop because there's no crime in the area. And I'm like, hey, I'm like that for my area. But this is what, here's the official invitation. Come on, we all get on board and change people's lives. Come on, we make a difference in the hearts of young kids that honestly, you're gonna fall in love. That's the only way. And Lord, we commit it all to you. Even there's a meeting next Thursday with the local people, because someone forgot to tell the chief we were in town. One of the councillors, it wasn't us, and the chief was freaking. And rightly so. But Lord, it's not about him. And it's not even about us. It's about your heart for these kids, oh God. And I just ask, Father, that you pour that love into our hearts right now for people that we don't even know. People we haven't even met yet, Lord. Kids that need someone to stand up for them, Lord, and speak into their lives, oh God. Somebody that would be the love of God to them, oh God. And I present Liberty to you and say, Lord, we are that and we want to be that. We want to look after widows and orphans, oh God. We want to reach out, Lord, to people that don't know you, Lord God. We love you, Lord, and we bless you for the privilege. 26 years ago, I was up in St. Andrew's Hall there in Rialto. We were doing a kids' camp with all the kids from the flats, and we were singing a song, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Lord, we lift up your name. And God spoke to my heart and says, no, I'm going to send some out from amongst you to other nations to declare my glory. Can you imagine what it feels like to be living in something that was spoken to you 26 years ago? God seen you all those years ago. He knew that you were going to be here, Chris and Sheila. He knew those who've gone to Belarus and Polanyi. And he knew you were going to be here 26 years later. And he says, I'm going to send some out from amongst you. Not just to build homes, which is amazing. Not just to feed people, which is amazing. But to declare his glory, his majesty and his kingship wherever we go. And we look forward to this adventure, Father. We pray for the meeting on Thursday. We say, Lord, that every other will other than yours to submit in the name of Jesus. Submit to the name of Jesus, to the will of God. We pray for soft hearts and humble hearts in the meeting, Father. And we believe for a good outcome in Jesus' name so we can get this over the line, Father. And all the people said, amen, amen. Amen. And you can bring your own little zebra home with you. So we started a series a couple of weeks ago, and I heard Eddie done a great job last week, and it was called Step by Steps. So that's the series that we're on for the next couple of months, because everything starts with a step, doesn't it? Every journey, every when you get up in the morning out of bed to go down and have your breakfast, it starts with one step. Decisions, places that you will be in your future will start with one step, and that step might be a decision to say yes to God. Even if it takes years to fulfill it, but it still requires a decision. When I became a Christian or you became a Christian, whenever that was for you, that I took one step, I said, Jesus, you can have my life. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Take every barrier between me and you out of the way. I want to know you. And that one decision, he honored. That one decision he took serious because it was coming from a sincere heart. And he, over all these years, has constantly led and constantly fed us as a people and as individuals. So it's God's heart that do you ever say, I'm going to do this and going to do that, I'm going to do this and going to do that? You can say that till you're 99, until you take one step. Now something happens. There's a dynamic when you take one step. And this is all about steps. This is all about looking at the scriptures and to see what is God saying in areas. What are steps that the Bible shows us that are spiritual and practical? And in fact, if you look at the Hebrew world view, there's no spiritual and practical. It's all spiritual. There's no, you know, separation in the whole worldview of the Hebrews. And we can talk till the cows come home. And I can tell you what I see in the scriptures. But unless we take them and we take a step, we will never know what it's about. We will hear people's stories and testimonies and we'll go, why in the world is that not happening to me? And what we have to do is look back and go, well, have I taken steps that God has given us in his word? And we're going to look at the whole area of that God's heart to prosper us. And it's a very, very incredible subject because it's also been a very abused subject within the body of Christ. And we don't want to live in a place. And some people, because things are abused in the body of Christ, we go, we don't want that to do with certain things. And then we throw the baby out with the bathwater. But you will find that this is a very rounded thing. And I want us to look at... how would you say this? 3 John. Anyone know where that is? So that's like the letters of John. John 1, John 2, and John 3. And we're going to look at John 3. It's a very, just a paragraph this morning. And we're going to, the whole letter is just one paragraph. And we're going to look at steps into walking into prosperity that we find John writing to a church. In fact, he was writing to an elder called Gaius in this letter, and he's writing him and he starts speaking over his life. And then when you read what he spoke over his life, we have to look at what are the steps in this man's life that caused the apostle John to speak this into his life. And then we will look at how practical these are in our lives. Does that make sense? It's good because it doesn't to me. So anyway, it's going to be up there, the scripture. So John starts off, the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, I love you in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may prosper in every way and be in good health physically, just as you are spiritually. For I was very glad when some brothers came and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are showing faithfulness by whatever you do. I lost a little bit there in that light. Unto the brothers, especially when they are strangers. They have testified to your love in front of the whole church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy or a manner that will honor God. Since they set out for the sake of his name, accepting nothing from pagans, therefore we ought to support such men so that we can be co-workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have first place among them, did not receive us. This is why, if I come, I will remind him of the works he is doing, slandering us with malicious words. And he is not satisfied with that. He not only refuses to welcome the brothers himself, but he even stops those who want to do so and expels them from the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not even seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from everyone, from the truth and from the truth itself. And we also testify for him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write to you, but I don't want to write to you with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace, shalom, be with you. The friends send you greetings. Greet the friends, by name. So John is writing to this church. You can read into some of this that John is like addressing some issues that were going on, especially around your man that was like, he was slandering John. He was slandering the work of God. He says, don't have anything to do with him. Like, you know, don't associate yourself with evil. He was also talking about not only would he not greet the brothers or strangers, but he wouldn't let anyone else greet them. So this guy was a piece of nasty work, the guy that he was talking about. But he's writing to Gaius, and he says this to him, and this is where I want to hang things on. It says, I pray. Sorry, it wasn't in the notes. If you want to put that back up there, please. He says, to the elder, to Gaius, I love you in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may prosper in every way and be in good health physically, just as you are spiritually. Another translation says, I pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers. That's probably one that's translation we all know. So this is not like an official prayer that because it's being said, it's going to happen. What this is, when John is saying this to him, it's like John saying, good day. I hope all goes well with you. So it's a greeting, it's a salute, it's like if someone was going away that he would say, I pray that you will prosper in every way, even as your soul prospers. And sometimes we some teachings have taken this and has declared that God just wants everyone to prosper. That God wants everyone to be rich, that God wants everybody to be this and to be that. And the reality is God does want us to prosper, but in every way. But he's not so interested, and you can see it in John's letter here. John's not interested in that everything is prosperous, like your soul, your bank balance, your physicality, and all that stuff. But what he is more interested in is that they were walking in the truth. Because Jesus' goal is not that everything will be comfortable for me. The goal of God is that I will be more like Christ. That is his absolute goal. And if we enjoy it, if we bask in his glory, there's times when we also bask in his sufferings. Some people think when they suffer, they're our God's will. Jesus wasn't. Job wasn't. The apostles, every one of them, bar John, were killed. Sawn in half. Nailed upside down on a cross. All of them bar John. But the reality is, God does want to prosper us. Why? Because he wants us to be blessed, to be a blessing. I remember one time I listened to a minister or a missionary speak from Africa, and you may have heard him, and he nearly was saying, if you have two pairs of shoes, you're wrong, because there's kids in Africa with no shoes. I don't know whether anyone ever sat under it, but it was hard. Because I've got seven pairs of shoes. And I've no guilt. But it's people that have two pairs of shoes that is able to give to people that have no shoes. Are you with me? So, the Bible says, yeah, he does want to bless us. He does want us to prosper. He says he wants us to have a prosperous mind. He wants us to have right thinking. He says, how do we get this? Practical step, renew your mind by the word of God. So that we're not left with lies, but where we have truth. So if we're not reading the truth, we can be falling for any old lie. If we're not reading what the word of God says about us, we'll be more interested in what people say about us. And myself and Sharon was just talking about this morning. That we have to draw the line. It is hard. You know what? People have an opinion about you, whether you like it or not. And people have an opinion about me, whether I like it or not. And sometimes we can make their opinion an idol. That I care more about being accepted by people. And therefore I have to be all that they want me to be. And it robs me of being who I really am. And I said to Sharon, we have to somehow, how difficult there is draw a line under it. Saying what you think, what Sharon thinks about me matters. What my kids think about me matters. The people that are in close that know me, what they think matters to me. But not every Jack matters to me. Not every Tom, Dick, or Harry's opinion. They've no weight, they've no value, unless I give them weight and give them value. And sometimes, and he's saying, God, the Bible is saying, that God wants us to prosper in our mind so that we know who we are in him and what we're about. And that when I don't live up to someone's expectation, that is their expectation, not necessarily God's expectation. And this ruins people. I don't want to do that, boy. You'll all be talking about me. So we stop doing things. We don't take a step. Because we're more worried about Mary, what Mary thinks, than what God thinks. And we allow people to rob ourselves, and therefore we don't prosper in our thinking. We don't prosper in our soul. The Bible teaches us that we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And the soul is very important because that's where our will is and our emotions is and our thinking is. And every one of them that is affected will affect who we are. But listen to what Niamh read out this morning. Psalm 103, verse 1. Memorizing that, Naomi, when you were a little one? Come on, quote it. Don't listen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He wants to bring our emotions and our thinking and our mind and our will into a place that everything is prospering in blessing God. And that when I can't bless God because emotionally someone has hijacked me, I have to bring that place back to God and say, Lord, I need to prosper again in that area. The fact is, God does want us to prosper financially. And if you're someone that is a giver, I'm telling you, you'll never be without him giving. You'll never. If you're a stingy old cat, I'm telling you, that's all you're going to be. Yeah, God will bless you, but you won't be the flow of God into the world. I remember a decision years ago. It was easy. Noel, you can either be a savings account, or you can be a current account. Simple. Savings account is all I'm saving up for a rainy day, for this, for that, and there's nothing wrong with that. John Wesley says, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. That was his motto. He says, but Noel, you can, I'll bless you, Noel. You can be a savings account. You can have a nice little one. Or you can be a current account. You know what a current account is? That's where all your direct debits and standing orders come out. They don't come out of your savings account. And it's like, God will pour in and you will enjoy the benefits of God's blessing in your life. Even though it's probably zero at the bottom of your account. But you will find that you are going places, doing things, have friends, all the stuff that you've never imagined. And he says, I will, but you have to release it all when I tell you. You have to go. God says, no, give that last 100 euro to that person. You give it all, I'm telling you, I'll keep it flowing. But when you stop as a savings account, son, you've cut your own supply off. God hasn't stopped us. God wants to prosper you and me, but he's given us practical steps in how to do this. What do you think the tithe is all about? The tithe is about him giving you a practical step to release prosperity into our lives. Not in an abusive way, not in God's a slot machine, I put a tenner in and I get 100 out. That's daft, isn't it, to even think of God like that? But he says that if you give the tithe, if you bring it to the house, he says, I will prosper you in a way that the windows of heaven will open so much that you will be saying, God, I can't even take any more of this blessing. And I've experienced that, guys. I'll show you my bank account. There's a standing order to come out tomorrow, and that's it. It's any hours till Wednesday. But I'm the richest man in this world, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I'm the richest person in this world. When I was 50, I know you can't believe it, I'm 50. But they gave me a surprise party, and loads of people were in on it, and I didn't have a clue. And many people gave me presents and that. I was embarrassingly blessed by you boys. I still have vouchers that I haven't spent yet. I got loads of money, loads of cards, loads of TK Maxx vouchers, and I was nearly like, I wanted to give them away because there's a part of me that struggled to receive everything. And God spoke to me, every good gift comes from above now, and you have to learn to receive, because I wanted to start giving it away. And I want to tell you, I have about 10 pairs of shoes now. He wants to, boy. See, if God says give every one of them away, I'm telling you, if you know me, I would come in here barefoot next week. Because I've learned not to hold on. I've learned who my father is. I've learned if he says, give your last pair of socks away and you give them away, you'll end up with a jar full of socks. He wants us to prosper. That's why John says this. He wants us to prosper in our families. He wants us to prosper in our marriage. He wants us to prosper in our relationship with people in the church and people outside of the church. It is his passion and his heart to show this world what it is to walk as a child of God. And again, not that our priority is on getting stuff, but our priority is on being more like Jesus. So here's John prayed this prayer over this man, Gaius. And I looked and I was like, why did he pray this prayer over this man? What was in this man's life that John says, I'm going to bless you, because I want to tell you, when an apostle speaks God's word, when an apostle prays for people, I'm telling you, heavens shake and the blessings of God come out. He says that he's built the foundation of the church on apostles and prophets. He's put such an emphasis that when Paul walked into a place, the apostle, or John walked into a place, that the heavens shook, and they'd say to the people, bring out your sick, and he'd bring out the sick, and even the shadow of the likes of Peter would heal people. And this is the apostle John, the beloved, the one that Jesus loved, according to John. If I was writing, I'd go, from Noel, the one who Jesus loved the best. But it was John. He had such an intimate relationship. Jesus had the 12. Then he had the 3, James, Peter, and John. And now the 3 had John. It was John that would lay his head on Jesus. Wasn't there. And he's praying this over this man. And what was in this man's life that caused him to pray? And this is where I felt. He says, first of all, to continue to walk in the truth. Yes, that's it. You can leave that there. You can find it. So one step that caused him to pray this prayer of prosperity over this man is that he would walk in the truth and continue to walk in the truth. Continue to walk in what God says. Continue to walk how God tells us to walk in this life. Continue to walk with him hand in hand. You tell me what it is, Lord, and I will do it. That the truth is a living word that God speaks into our lives. And wherever we're not living out of the truth, we're probably living out of a lie. I'll never be free. That's not walking in the truth. I'll never be healed. That's not walking in the truth, because that's not the truth. I'll never be whole as a person. I'll always be damaged goods. That's not the truth. He wants to prosper us. He wants to zozo us. This says in John 3:17 that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but so that the world may be saved. Zozo, that word means zozo, true. Zozo means this, that Jesus came, not only he came to save, he came to heal, and he came to deliver. So if I'm walking around undelivered, I'm not living in some of the prosperity or the truth. And that's okay, because that is a process and that can be something we have to work out. But if I settle, I'll never be delivered. I'm no longer walking in the truth. And this man, Gaius, John says, continue. It's testified about you, about the truths. Because we can believe any old lie, believe me. Something that sounds religious, something that sounds like, I was listening to a girl yesterday on the radio, and great, great woman, and has come through huge sickness, and where all she kept talking about was hypnotism and positive thinking. That's not the truth. In fact, in the end, that ties you in a snare that could send you all the way to hell, because you won't accept who he is in the end. Because I've done it. That's what you could hear. I've done it. I've sorted my mind out. I've sorted this out. But the more you do it outside of the truth to God, you're moving further away from God. This is the truth that will set you free. Jesus says, if you know the truth, take a hold of it, apply it to your life. That's the truth that will set you free. And his recommendation, step one, in John praying this blessing over this man, was that he was one that walked in the truth. Write it down. He said, show him faithfulness to what you do for the brothers. Step two in John praying this prayer over this man was that he was a faithful worker. Find something to do in the kingdom of God and stay faithful. Find something to do in this house and stay faithful. Find something to do in one of the outreaches and stay faithful. I'm telling you, a faithful person is hard to deter. It's hard to knock them down. It's like, yet they get knocked down, but faithful people get back up again. No, I promise Jesus, I committed to Jesus, I'm going to walk. It's not about many times we get knocked down. What really matters is how we get knocked up. And then as you keep getting up, God gives you the passion then to start knocking your enemy down. Here, come here, you Goliath. You know, I'm sick getting knocked down by you. Hang on a second. It's not about getting knocked down. It's about getting back up, and then eventually get back up, and then you knock him down. Being faithful. I want to tell you, if you want to be used by God, be faithful. If he gives you, as Chris said earlier, if he says to you, you come in here every week and put out the chairs. God says that to you. Be faithful. Because he will promote you. He will promote you. You will go, I trust you with chairs, I trust you with this. That's what it is about the toy team. God is like, if I can trust you with that, I can give you more. But if I can't trust you with that, you won't let it go. If I can't trust you to turn up, if I can't trust you to be on time, if I can't trust you to be faithful, how can I give you the bigger things? God, I want to save the world. Serving your kids every morning. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't do this here. He starts here. Jesus started in the manger. He was a carpenter. Savior of the world. Show faithfulness. Tell you, a faithful person is worth their weight in gold. Do you know what a faithful person is? Doesn't matter who doesn't show up, I know they know. That's, I'm telling you, that's unconquerable at points. Step three, he says, continue in love. He says, they testified about your love. you know, John's last dying breath, I was in the house, well, the supposed house where the Apostle John died in Turkey, in Ephesus, just up a big mountain from Ephesus. And it was where him and Mary lived, because Jesus told John at the cross, remember, to look after his mom. So John was, he was in Ephesus and Mary was there. And young Timothy, you remember Timothy, just a little bit down from in the gospel, in the New Testament. Timothy was the pastor. Imagine being Mary's pastor and the Apostle John's pastor. That's scary, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, just like, Mary, whatever you say is going. I don't care what they say. You're Jesus' man. Look, you can. John, you walked with him. You were the one that he loved. But they said when we were there, he said the last words of John on his bed, deathbed, he looked around and says to everyone, love one another. Look, it's his theme right through. Look at his gospel. Look at 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Love one another. Love outweighs the multitude of sin. Love causes us not to be proud, not to be arrogant, not to have a swelled head. I wonder, he kept saying, continue in love. That brother that was putting people out, love will continue to bring people in. A lack of love will dispel people. Love gathers people. Love when no one's looking. Love others when there's no credit for it. Do you ever get opportunities to do that? You just do something that's so random. Love gives. Love is the last to take. I've seen love in action. Chris and Sheila asked me to bring a word to the kids in the Palani orphanage. And I'm like, what in the world do you say to them? Kids? What word am I going to preach to these kids, Lord? The Lord gave me a word. About his hands, the hands that created the universe, the hands that got down on his knees and pinched together dirt and created Adam. And that same God knelt down and breathed into Adam's body and brought him alive. And the same hands, the Bible says in 1:39, knitted them together in their mother's womb. The same hands that Jesus says, no one can snatch it from my Father's hands. You know why no one can snatch him from the Father's hands? Because his hands are too big for anyone to snatch us from his hand. These hands protect, these hands direct, these hands, all this stuff. And I landed on this bit. These hands give. And I set the little orphans to have more. Give whatever you have to someone else. Because I'd watched the little boy come home. The youngest kid in Palani is a little girl called Agnes. Agnes Brown, I believe. Little Aggie. And while we were, whatever we were doing, I watched this other little boy come in with some tomatoes. That was for you from America. Tomatoes. And he got down on his knees and he fed this little girl with tomatoes. And they were my illustration. That you're no more like God than when you're giving to someone. And this orphan gave up his tomatoes to someone else. That's why the step is here. That's why John prayed this thing. Continue in love. I can pray over you a prayer when you're continuing in love that I can't pray over other people. Step 4. Listen to what he says. Show hospitality. Do you know hospitality is the most amazing thing? You know Abraham, and when the 3 visitors came to Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a baby. And they came and he made them a meal and they were delivering the word from God. You know the Bible says, show hospitality to strangers because some have even entertained angels and they weren't aware of it. So I was talking at dinner during the day in Africa with a pastor and Sheila and Rob and myself. And we got, I don't know what we got talking. I says, here's the basic of what I've learned in 27 years. Show hospitality. Show kindness to everybody. Show, because I'm telling you what, you will reap it. Have I told you that people come up on the street and hand me money? They do. Do you know why? Because there's times when I love to do stuff when nobody knows. I love to go on the street and give a stranger money. You know, granny getting her nails done. Can I pay for your
hands to be done. When you greet someone, you greet them with kindness and hospitality. You never know when you need them. You never know when they'll come back into your life. It could be a king in 10 years' time. Because who do we remember most in this world? The ones that showed us kindness when we need them. We also remember those who don't show us kindness, by the way. Not getting into my palace. He could pray this prayer because it was a step in Gaius' life and showed hospitality to all. He said, support them in a way that honors God. That's what we're going to get to do with Africa. Support Chris and Sheila in a way that honors God. My role and their leadership role is to look after Chris and Sheila. Their role and our role will be to look after the kids. But that we do it in a way that is honourable to God. That we support the Sunday school teachers in a way that's honourable to God. That we support missions, we support ministries, we support leadership in a way that's honourable to God. And John is saying that when we do things to honour God, he can pray a prayer of prosperity in every area of our lives. Last step, he says, do what is good. Because those who do what is good is from God. It's not hard to do what's good. I think the basic message of the Good Samaritan is, be a good human being to other people, other human beings. There's more messages in it. But I think one of the basic messages in it is be good to other human beings. Do what is good. Shun what is evil. Do what is good. Talk about what is good. Promote what is good. Paul says, dwell on things that is good. The steps of this is incredible because we have a tendency to dwell on what is not good. And our newspapers will tell us to dwell on it. Our news stations will tell us. Our neighbor will tell us. Everyone will tell us, look what's going on, this. But no one is saying, why don't you dwell on what's good? Why don't you dwell on all those people that actually are doing good in the world? That are doing good with orphans. That are doing good with widows. He says that when we do this, that he can pray a prayer, or John prays a prayer of prosperity over the people. And that's what I'd like to pray over us. And I'm no slouch when it comes to this. But we can hear the word being preached and walk out and do the opposite or allow it to be robbed. And then we go, God, how come my life is not being blessed or prosperous? We get a choice. We live his way or our own way. There's no in between. There's no, we live his way. I'm telling you, I'm not there. When I am there in Penny, I rock the show, as Puff Daddy said. I live in a way that is, I don't want to live any other way. My life is at such a pelt that I don't want to do anything else in this world. But I made a decision that I want to live this way. And if you make a decision today that you want to walk in the truth, I want to tell you, he leads you into truth. That's his job. The Holy Spirit is being given to us to lead us into all truth. If we get on board and show faithfulness, and then you'll see the promotion of God coming to your life. You'll say, I'm putting out chairs one day, and I'm living in the will of God for my life in a different way the next day. If you continue in love, there's nothing more powerful than love. You know, when we go out in the streets, which we're starting that team to go out in the streets and bring healing to liberty on the streets, we'll be starting soon when you hear this thing. And you pray for people. And you know why people don't step out and pray for healing? Because the lie is, what if they don't get healed? And the reality is, we do pray for people and they don't get healed. We don't know all the reasons. We're not the healer, Jesus is. But the least you can show every person is love. But the Bible says that love is not the least. The Bible says love is the greatest.
even greater than healing, even greater than what any else you put in, it says it's greater. And if we make the decision, Lord, oh, you know what? If there's people you don't love and can't love, just tell the Lord. Lord, I told the Lord one day, honestly, I had hatred in my heart for a man. Hatred that when I seen him, my flesh crawled. And I seen him one day and I says, know what, Lord, I hate him. And the Lord says, no, you can't hate him and love me. Salt water and fresh water doesn't come out the same tap. And I says, well, Lord, I don't want to hate him. But I can't help these feelings. And I got told his wife died. Years later, and I wept for him. So where's that after coming from? I hate that man. I should have wished him ill on him. I met him in the barber's one day. The barber's was about the size of them four chairs together. Our knees was touching off each other. And he reaches over and he goes, I have to apologize to you now. Continue in love. If you haven't got it, he'll give it to you. Show hospitality. Make a decision today. Show hospitality. People will remember you for the rest of their life. Honor God in all that we do. Step 6. Let's do what's good. Let's stand. It is well with my soul, Lord. Speak the truth over our lives. So I want to pray this prayer of prosperity over us. If you get ready, if you're visiting with us, don't freak out, but if you just get ready, if you put out your hands as if you're going to receive something good, in the name of Jesus, Father, I proclaim over liberty that are willing to walk in God's ways, and all the blessings of God shall come on you and overtake you. Be blessed in the city and blessed in your workplace. Be blessed in the fruit of your body. And may your kind increase. Blessed in the basket at home and blessed in the stores. Blessed coming in and blessed going out. Be blessed that all your enemies will fall before you. Your enemies will come at you in one way, but they will flee in 7 different ways in Jesus' name. I pray blessing upon your home, that your storehouses will be full. I pray that all that you put your hand to will be blessed in Jesus' name. I pray that you will prosper in the place where God has placed you. May you be plenteous in goods, children, finances, health, in Jesus' name. I pray over your life, prosper in a way that will give witness to God opening up his treasure over your life. That you will be a lender and not a borrower. That you will be the head and not the tail. That you will be above and not below, in Jesus' name. Be blessed with laughter and joy. Be blessed with truth and honesty and sincerity. Be blessed in knowing the love of God. Be blessed in showing the love of God. Be blessed with the ability to walk in the truth. Be blessed in the ability to show, to be faithful. Be blessed with the ability to continue in love. Be blessed with the gift of hospitality. Be blessed with an aptitude to honor God in all that you do. Be blessed in doing good things. One of my favorite scriptures, Galatians 6:9. Do not give up doing good, for in due time you shall reap your reward. Continue to do good and receive your reward in Jesus' name. Will you put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you? And would you just give away some blessing? Would you just pray blessing? God honor them. Whatever words come to your mind, just give away, because this is what it's about. When we know who our Father is, we won't act like orphans. We'll give away.
Yes, just pray a blessing over that family, Lord. Protect them. Lord, open the doors for them. Give them their heart's desire, Lord. Make them great in the land, Lord. Cause their enemies to look upon them with favor, Lord. Give people dreams about them, Lord God, so they can be promoted, Lord. Release a flow of encouraging words into their life. Lord, we just lay hands on and we say, the bodies be healed in the name of Jesus. We say to each person, prosper in the name of Jesus. Be blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. Be blessed with ears to hear God. Be blessed with eyes to see God. Be blessed with a mind to be able to perceive the things of God. Be blessed with a heart that is tender towards God. Be blessed with the nearness of God. I pray that your home be wallpapered with peace. I pray that you hear the words of God that sets you free, that heals you, that brings you into spacious land. Be blessed in your marriage. Be blessed in your family life. Be blessed in your community life. Be blessed in your work life. Be blessed with great friends. Be blessed with kind people coming into your world. Be blessed in the faithfulness of your work, of your hands. Be blessed in your loving. Be blessed in your honoring. And we seal it up by saying amen. And all God's people said, amen.